Well, hey, Woodstock City, thanks for tuning in from wherever you're tuning in from on this Memorial Day weekend, where we honor and remember those who lost their lives defending our country. As you know, we don't have any in-person services today, and so we record a conversation I'm going to tell you about in just a few minutes. But first, I want to tell you, next Sunday, June 2nd, we're going to be kicking off summer here at Woodstock City. A lot of fun going on in the building, and it is Sunday that you and your family do not want to miss, so I hope you'll make plans to join us on June 2nd. But we've been in this series called What Our World Needs Now. And it's all about the fruit that is produced in you and in me, things like love, joy, peace, kindness, and gentleness, the things that are produced in us when we walk by the Spirit. So the question is, how do we walk by the Spirit? What does that look like practically? Well, I invited some friends to come join me for a conversation where we answered that question. So thanks for tuning in. Enjoy the conversation. So walking by the Spirit, we're going to get into it today. I've got some friends with me, as I mentioned, and I'm super pumped to introduce you guys to them. I've got Elaine Scott to my left. She's on staff here at Woodstock City. She works with women groups and in our equipping department. She leads that. Jake Williams, our newly minted college pastor. He leads the living room. Pumped to have you, Jake. And April Farmer, who you guys see leading worship all the time here at Woodstock City. She's also on staff at Buckhead Church and is the leader of the care department down there. So thanks for being here, y'all.
Yeah.
Thanks for having
me. Glad to be here.
This is going
to
be fun.
Yeah.
So, walking by the Spirit, it's one, you know, we're in the series wrestling with what that looks like. And so, we just want to get really, really practical today with what that looks like for you and just have a conversation. I think it'll be helpful for everybody tuning in. So, here's where we're going to start, though. And, you know, you can get as honest here as you want, but all the fruit of the Spirit that Paul talks about, love, joy, patience, you know, peace, kindness, gentleness, faithful self-control. Right now, like where you're at, okay, which fruit do you struggle with the most?
I can start.
Go ahead, Jay.
I asked other people in my life this question.
Really?
I sent out some dangerous thing to do. and I got, I think every single one of them, every bucket was checked, which was awesome. A lot of work to do. But I feel like for me, honestly, I would say joy. Like, I think I struggle sometimes to find joy. And maybe it's, I don't know if it's because I take life too seriously sometimes, or if I'm just always looking for what's negative and always looking for the things that are, I don't know. I sometimes struggle to have to remind myself to feel joy and to experience some joy. So, yeah.
That's good.
Well, I wouldn't ask anybody just because I want to keep my joy.
Sure, sure.
But when I survey myself, the one I struggle the most with currently, or that I'm paying most attention to, is gentleness. Mm. I have a tendency to be very direct about some things sometimes. And I mean, just being a single mom and raising my kids by myself, I think I developed this toughness. Like, I got to raise these boys and I got to be firm with them and I got to teach them and they've got to be this, that, and the other. And I remember at one point in my life, a few years back, one of my friends came to town to visit and he was just like, you know what? You used to be so sweet. And I was like, you know what it's like to have to raise these kids. I was so mad, but it stayed with me. And so it continues to resonate just to kind of focus my attention on being gentle and just cultivating that. What does that look like? How can I live that out and allow God to kind of grow that in me? So yeah, gentleness is my thing right now.
That's really good.
Okay, so I would say this for me, that I think any of them are equal opportunity to be things I need to work on. And I think it would really just depend for me on, am I hungry? Am I tired? who is the person across from me? What are my circumstances? Yeah. Any of those things have the potential for me to struggle either with love or kindness or goodness or any of them can cause me. So I really am I'm wide open to any of them being all things I have to work on the regular.
That's really great. I won't answer all the questions, but I'll just be honest. I think probably patience for me right now on this one. I've got, you know, three young kids at home, fourth on the way, and I just, oh man, you know, the 4-year-old and the 2-year-old. And so I'm having to constantly remind myself.
We'll be praying for you.
That's right. We remember those days.
Y'all do.
For sure. Yes. Yes.
Shout out, by the way, to all the single moms out there. I mean, that's April, you're a legend. Yeah. So, walking through that season, I'm sure you were far more gentle than you remember. So,
I hope so. Don't ask them.
All right. So, walking by the Spirit, the Spirit, the fruit are produced in us. So there's this interesting dynamic at play here where there's a passive part of it, like the Spirit of God works within us. We can't make it work. It just, it works within us. But we're also told by Paul to walk by the Spirit. So keep in step with the Spirit. So the way I kind of wrote it down is the Spirit is going to work, but we have to walk. Mm-hmm. The Spirit's going to work, passive, but there's an active piece. We have to walk. So let's talk about what that looks like for you. What does, and Elaine, I'll start with you.
Okay.
What does walking by the Spirit, like, let's bring it down into the practical. What does walking by the Spirit look like for you?
So I have a daily habit that I do every morning when I get up and walk my dogs. And so on that walk, what I would say, how I would answer the question is I have a little ritual I go through that I begin by just declaring who God is in the world for me that day. Like, you know, God, you are sovereign. God, you are God. I am not. You are perfectly good. I am not. So I go through kind of this, who is God, right? And who am I not in light of who he is? So I declare who God is. Then I dedicate myself to God. Romans 12:1 talks about offering yourself to God. So I go through the process of just throughout the course of this day, I want to dedicate myself to you, my head, my heart, my hands, my feet, all the things. And then I move to dependency as I continue to go throughout the day today, having declared you as author of my day, having, you know, dedicated myself to you. Now I want to be dependent on your Holy Spirit to lead and guide me throughout the day. And that just gives me a real tangible thing that I can say and affirm and remind me as I go about my day that whatever happens, I've already declared him as Lord. I've already dedicated myself to his service. And I have said that my intention for the day is to fully depend on the Holy Spirit. So that's just a front end of the day way that I set myself up to remember throughout my day. I want to depend on the Holy Spirit.
I love that. Mm. Declare,
dedicate,
and
depend.
Depend. Mm-hmm. Declare, dedicate,
and depend.
And depend. Mm-hmm. And flesh out, and then I'm going to come to y'all. Flesh out depend, because it's this. So it's like, hey, I know that there's only so much I can control, so I'm going to depend on the Holy Spirit to supply where I'm deficient, and then I'm gonna go wherever he follows.
Yes, I am going to trust that what you've said is if I walk by your Spirit is my intention, that the Spirit will be faithful to work in my life at those crossroad moments that I'm going to hit. And we all hit them, right? We don't know when we're going to hit them, but we know we're going to hit a moment in the day where we're going to hit a limit to our natural self ability to do anything. Mm-hmm. So having acknowledge God's sovereignty and my dedication to surrender myself to him, then I'm depending then on that part that God's part of that is to be faithful to do what he said he's going to do as I'm looking for a dependence on his Spirit.
That's good. So super practical. One more time. What are they? Say one more time.
Declare,
dedicate.
Dedicate, depend.
Depend.
And that's just a tangible handle for me in the front of my day to say, God, you're God.
Yeah.
I'm your servant. You've said that I can depend on you. That's what I want to do today.
That's good.
And then I just believe when I hit those moments, I've already settled this at the front end of my day. It's already decided that this is what I'm going to do.
Yeah. When you bump it at moments, that tests how much love you want to show, how much patience you show, how much kindness you
show. Or when I'm at the end of it. Yeah. Like I'm out. I'm already on empty. Right. Yeah. So you're going to have to show up to fill what is lacking in me.
Yeah. Love that.
Well, I think that the pin word is really important because like when I was in college, I remember I tried to set this really strict discipline and habit of, I'm going to wake up in the morning, I'm going to read my Bible, I'm going to journal and do all these things, and I'd, you know, do it for 30 minutes or so, and I'd shut my Bible, shut my journal, and move on with my day, as if, like, God expects me to, like, fuel up in the morning and then live the rest of my day on my own. And I felt like he, you know, the moment in college, or towards the end of college, a few years ago, really, when I was like, wait, I can depend on him the whole day. And like, I can bring him with my whole day. It's almost this like visual of like, I'm gonna pack him up with all my things as I leave. And you know, it's like, I'm taking him with me. I'm not gonna leave him there. And you know, and that doesn't have to like get weird or anything, but it's like just thinking like when I'm in the car, when I'm in traffic, when I'm at work, when I'm with friends later, you know, like I'm always gonna be mindful of what does it look like to be with God even in this moment, not just in those moments early in the morning too.
Sure.
So I think that's really good.
I mean, I think about, you go into your day, you go into work, you're going into class, you're going to, you know, going to practice, whatever you've got going on. And it's, even though you joked about, okay, I'm not being weird, but it's like, you read your Bible, put it aside, and then it's like done. But then it's like, no. The Spirit lives within me. And throughout the entire day, if I am being attentive, like he's with me and I can mm-hmm. depend on yes. him to produce in me what I can on my own, and I'm going to trust mm-hmm. where it leads, and it's going to give yeah. me a greater capacity to show kindness and love. And so sure. I think it's a great just kind of way to think about it, a great yeah. mindset on that.
Yeah. yeah. And there's also that piece about what you said. It's really acknowledging that there is a Holy Spirit. Mm. And then as a believer, that Holy Spirit actually lives and dwells mm-hmm. within me
yeah.
and has a function, has a purpose.
Yes.
His role, his function is to lead us and to guide us into all truth and to be our comforter and to be our strength. Jesus, when he left, he says, I have to go away yeah. and I will send the Holy Spirit to reside within you, to come alive in you. And so mm-hmm. believing that, like you said, that declaring, it's like, I have to believe this to know that he yeah. is going to be with me and that he is going to speak to me. And one of my, there's a psalm where the psalm writer says, thy word have I hidden in my heart so that I won't sin against it. So for me, it's one of those things of, I expect to hear God speak to me in the moment. Like, yeah. Like as I go about life and I'm talking to people mm-hmm. or somebody might come up to me and ask me a question and I will literally in my head, I'm like, okay, Holy Spirit, you're going to have to help me with this. Mm-hmm. And in that moment, I'm placing a dependency on him, but I'm also expecting to hear from him and trusting that he's leading. Like, I don't have to figure out, okay, what word am I going to say? But it comes up. And I see that very often. It's like, my husband will tell me, he's like, April, you're so churchy. And I'm like, I'm not trying to be churchy, but I've read the word and it comes out of me yeah, because yeah. it's in there. And so when I encourage people, sometimes I'll encourage with scripture because that's all I got. Mm. I don't have the words, but I know the scripture. Cool. And so to me, walking by the Spirit or being led by the Spirit is acknowledging that he's there, acknowledging that he has a role mm-hmm. and depending on him mm-hmm. and then just asking him in the moment, okay, Lord, I'm gonna need you to help me not cuss this lady out who just cut me off in this line, or I'm gonna need you to help me slow down. You know, I feel myself getting angry. Why am I angry, Lord? Just mm-hmm. talk, you know, just really that is walking.
No, okay, that's okay. All this is so practical. And I love what you just said, like in the moment, I'm getting angry.
Mm-hmm.
Lord, I need you to help me calm down, mm-hmm. right? And in that, the acknowledgement, and that's you declaring, right?
Yeah.
How you're starting your day. And so I love that. Like, okay, you want to walk by the Spirit? Number one, acknowledge that he literally lives inside of you.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You mentioned Jesus. Remember, mm-hmm. he said, it is better that I go.
Right. Better, yes.
I was like, hang on. Jesus, I don't know, man. It'd be pretty cool if you stayed. Why right. is it better? Because he's going to send his Spirit to live inside of us.
Yes.
So acknowledge, mm-hmm. and then in some form or fashion, be attentive throughout the day.
Yes.
Attentive that he's with mm-hmm. you. Attentive mm-hmm. that he's there. Attentive to where he's leading. Attentive to those nudges.
Mm-hmm.
And then act on where he leads. And this is mm-hmm. this is the hard part. It's like, okay, you get to decide, and this is going to help us into our next question. In this moment, if I'm going to choose anger, I'm going to say some things to the lady that cut me off and use some sign language, or
pray for
I'm going to exercise. And it's like in those moments, you know, you can pick one or the other. And so it's like, okay, the Holy Spirit has not only given you a new ability to show kindness, it's like, hey, it's raising it up in you. And then mm-hmm. it comes to point, okay, am I going to trust it and follow in it? Or am mm-hmm. I going to do what I want to do? Right. And so, okay, there's kind of two ways of questions I want to go here. I want to lean into that part of you that doesn't want to do what the Spirit does, wants you to do. Okay. But before we get there, you guys all mentioned something. How you start your day, habits, reading your Bible, praying, these different things that you do. So I want to talk about spiritual disciplines for a second, because spiritual disciplines play a part in us walking by the Spirit. Mm-hmm, and mm-hmm. a spiritual discipline, it's just forget the word discipline, they're just spiritual practices or habits. Things like reading your Bible, things mm-hmm. like praying, fasting, okay, mm-hmm. Giving, serving, these things that basically make room for God to work in our lives. And so I want to talk about how spiritual disciplines, what part they play in us walking by the Spirit. You guys kind of each mentioned, or maybe for you, like, which spiritual disciplines do you find, mm-hmm. you know, help mm-hmm. you continue to walk by the Spirit, or set you up? You use the word cultivate. Mm-hmm. What spiritual disciplines cultivate in you kindness and love? It creates space for the Holy Spirit to work, and the next thing you know, you're more kind than you realize you are, more gentle. You know, so let's have a conversation around those, some of the disciplines that that you lean into and help you cultivate and make room for God to grow something in you. Yeah. And then it's our responsibility to act on it.
Yeah, for me, I'd say it's a scripture memorization.
Scripture memorization.
Scripture memorization is a big thing for me because I'm a words person. Mm. Words come alive for me. I'm a singer. I love lyrics. I love reading. I love words just come alive for me. And so to when I was intentional about growing spiritually, I joined a spiritual life mentoring group. And we had five disciplines that we were kind of cultivating, and scripture memorization was one of them. And what that teaches me, or what that gives me, it speaks again to that verse I talked about earlier. It's about hiding the word in my heart. And what I find often is that in situations, say, for example, if I'm being tempted to do something and I feel like that temptation is so overwhelming. So you talk about self-control, talk about that fruit. That temptation is so overwhelming. Well, one of the scriptures that I memorized many years ago is 1 Corinthians 10:13. There is no temptation that has overtaken you except such as common to man. And God is faithful. He will not allow you to be tempted beyond that which you are able. But along with the temptation will provide a way of escape so that you will be able to endure it. Mm. That gives me life.
Wow.
In that moment, just that scripture coming back to me in whatever temptation I have. Oh, yeah, that's not novel. That's not a new thing for you. Right. Everybody's dealt with this, and there is a way out. So then that goes to your choice. I have a choice at this moment. Do I go left? Do I go right? Do I follow God's way? Mm-hmm. Do I choose my own way? But there's always a way of escape. Yeah. And along with the temptation, it doesn't say that the temptation will go away, but along with it, He will always provide a way of escape so that you will be able to endure the temptation.
Yeah.
So to me, that's everything to me. That's why scripture memorization is just, it's huge, because it seems to just step in right when I need it. And then I have no choice. It's like, oh man, I'm caught now.
That's
like,
really great.
That's so good.
Yeah. That's awesome.
Yeah. I feel like similarly carving out time, you mentioned making space, like carving out time in my mornings. Like I know I'm going to have traffic on my way to work. I know it's a thing, you know, it's just, I can expect that I'm going to get angry. I can expect that, you know, I'm going to lose patience a little bit. I can expect those things to happen, but I also can make space in the morning to get in scripture and to read, but also to, like, solitude, I would say, is a spiritual discipline that I feel like helps me the most, and getting away, stepping back so that I'm not so rushed in the mornings. I'm not so hurried. And so when I'm in traffic, it's like, I'm not, you know, running late to work. I'm not running late to get to where I have to go because I've made space and I've slowed down. And I think there is a discipline of like waking up early and, you know, getting in the word and, you know, separating yourself from other people for a little while. But that discipline helps create so much space in my heart so that when I am sitting in traffic or when I am, you know, someone does cut me off or whatever, I can be patient. I can, you know, I'm not in a hurry. I'm not in a rush. And I've kind of done the work at the front end of my day to make space for that
to be
true.
Okay. So real quick before you go, Elaine, so we got scripture memorization and there's all sorts of spiritual, but this is what works for us. You putting that, so that way in those moments, it's like it comes back to you and it gives you some truth to anchor yourself to. I love that. Solitude.
Yep.
Before your day gets crazy, I'm going to start it slow.
Yep. Yep.
And there's something about that creates space. I love that. Mm-hmm. Elaine, where are you at?
So when I think about it, I love that. I think those are good ones. And the one that I think is not talked about that often, so it may not be as helpful, but there was a long season in my life where there's just this little bit of a little girl that was wants to be acknowledged, right? Mm. I want you to see, I want credit for stuff. I want to be noticed and acknowledged, right? And that was real problematic for me because it was very self-focused. Mm. It was all about me, and I wanted to make sure people saw me as being a certain way. So there was a discipline that Dallas Willard talked about, and he wrote a book on all the spiritual disciplines, but he calls it the discipline of secrecy or hiddenness. Mm. And for me, what that meant was, he says, it's anything that you do for someone else, whether it's a card, whether it's meeting a need, whether it's a financial gift, whether it's whatever it is, that you do it in such a way that they can't possibly know it was you.
Wow. Mm.
That's so
and,
good.
I don't like that one.
I know. That's what I'm saying. But
it's good.
So, but it was so helpful in starving that natural desire I have inside of me that wants recognition, that wants praise, that wants acknowledgement for stuff. I just found that becoming way too unhealthy in me, and it starved it in a way that few other things probably could have done, which was to do good things that couldn't possibly trace back to me and had to be traced back to God. Mm. Wow. And that was one of the ones that
that's really
Dallas Willard, I'm telling you,
he
knows some things.
Yeah. So it's like you fasted recognition.
Mm. Oh, wow. Like, yeah, that's exactly what it is.
Like I fasted recognition. Like I killed it in me by doing something in secret.
Yes.
Like that's counteracting it.
Yes.
Yikes. Mm. That's good.
And there's so many spiritual disciplines, and they play such a major part in this. I mean, I think about like praying. It's hard for me to continue to be angry with somebody or to even not like somebody. Well, you don't like people? Yes, okay. When I pray for them. In fact, it's why I think Jesus said, pray for your enemies. Mm-hmm. Not just because, oh, pray for their enemy. It's the Jesus thing. I think he knew if you keep praying for them, you're not going to see them as an enemy anymore.
Yes.
Like my capacity to love people grows when I pray for them, right? Yeah. And so, I mean, regardless of the spiritual discipline, they make room for, it's us basically cultivating and setting the right environment for something to grow in us that is better than our default. Mm-hmm. And then every day we got an opportunity to exhibit it and to show it. And sometimes it's going to pop up and surprise us. We're like, oh my gosh, where did that peace come from? Where did that patience come from? Where did that, you know?
Yeah.
And so, okay, so let's jump into the other side of that then. We keep talking about kind of this default setting we have that is contrary to the Spirit. Like, you follow God and follow in the way the Spirit is leading, or do what I want to do, or fall into the things that I typically fall into. And the Apostle Paul actually talks about this. He says in Galatians 5:16, so I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. So it's really those, you know, for the Apostle Paul, it's one of two ways. You see this throughout the New Testament. It's either walk by the Spirit, be led by the Spirit, follow in the way of Jesus, or gratify the flesh. And the flesh is just a term in the New Testament that just describes our propensity to sin, or it's our propensity to look inward towards self and look away from God, and even if it comes at the expense of others. Okay, so there's a lot of ways to describe it. But why is it then, the Spirit, following the Spirit is one way, why is it so easy, so hard to walk by the Spirit, but so easy to gratify the desires of the flesh, the what I want, the it's all about me, the things that look so good, and then, you know, you end up regretting. Like, why is it so easy to gratify the flesh, to lean in versus... It's like they're, I mean, Paul said they're like a battle, right?
It's
they're contrary
battle.
To each other. Mm-hmm. So what is that? It's like, as a Christian, I'm in the Spirit. Why is the flesh still there? Like, why do I still want to do those things, you know? Let's talk about that for a second. Let's unpack that tension.
I'll go first, if you want. I think that part of what is so hard to do about resisting the flesh and trusting the Spirit, or to say no to those things, is because saying no is going to bring a level of pain, right? Mm. We're going to have to suffer to some extent, right? If I want something and I have a lot of energy towards that, then refusing it hurts, right? It creates this, now I've got to live with the angst of I'm not going to gratify that thing that just really is telling me. If I would just do that, I'd feel so much better, right? I'd be so much happier, be so much, life would be so fun. And to say no to that, I just don't think we're good at absorbing pain willingly into our system, right? We're so used to wanting to alleviate pain. But saying no means I'm going to say no to something that I feel very strongly about in this moment that's promising me pleasure, whatever it may be on the other side of it. And I'm going to say no. And I think we have a hard time saying no to that and thinking that it could actually be better for us. You know, that it's going to be worth having absorbed that pain cost on the front end and trusting the Holy Spirit to provide what is lacking, right? If I'm going to say no to this, he's going to provide something over here to make it himself sufficient, right? He says, I'll be sufficient. But I think that's the thing is we're just not good at suffering.
Yeah.
And I think there's a measure of suffering that comes with saying no.
Yeah, that death to self, that death to the thing that you
it's
want.
It's the thing.
Later, right? Yeah.
I don't like it.
And the flesh, like, the desires of flesh, like that thing that we want, you know, the thing that tends to be contrary to the Spirit, it just also just looks really attractive. So it looks really good. It's like, it's going to make me happy. It's going to fulfill me. It's going to, you know, this is ultimately what I want. This is the thing that's going
to... If it didn't look good, we wouldn't be drawn to it.
Exactly. Right. Yeah. Yeah.
You know, we like shiny things.
Right. Right.
Yeah. So, and we were born into our flesh.
Yeah.
And I think we kind of fool ourselves into thinking that, oh, well, one day it's just going to disappear. If I exercise this enough, I will no longer desire this thing.
Right. Yeah.
But at the end of the day, until we see Jesus, until we are fully, you know, redeemed and, you know, fully set free on the other side, like as long as I'm in this earthly fleshly body, I will deal with this this fleshly body. Mm-hmm. And I think the acknowledgement of that, I think, or the lack of that acknowledgement keeps us in this place where we feel like we're wrestling. Like, why do I have to fight this? But I think the moment we get to this place where, you know, well, I'm going to be wrestling with this. And so that's why I need to continually make the choice every day to choose to go this way. I'm going to wake up tomorrow and I'm going to want something sweet. Like, it's going to happen. Yes. But I know for me, as I get older, it's like eating these sweets, my family lineage sweets are just not going to end up being good for me. Yeah. And I got to give that up. But it's something. That's also the other part. It's those things that we naturally need for our body. Food is good for us. But however, there is a balance between food for our life and food for our satiation, just food to just gratify this craving. Mm-hmm. I kind of refer to it sometimes like as a Tasmanian devil, like it's just raging. It's like, oh no, I want it now. And our culture says, you can have what you want. You can have it right now. You know, J.G. Wentworth, 877 cash now. Like, I want what I want right now.
We're not sponsored.
Sorry. But no, it's just that craving, that thing that just fires in us. But one thing a friend told me one time when we were practicing fasting at my church, she said, April, tell yourself you've had it before. You'll have it again. It's okay to not have it right now. Mm-hmm. And just reminding yourself that Tasmanian devil does not have control over you, but you, by the help of the Holy Spirit, have control over it. Mm-hmm. It reminds me when Cain was about to kill Abel and he was enraged and God came to him and he asked him, like, hey, what's going on with you? He said that the enemy wants to overtake you, but you have to master it. You have the authority to overcome this desire that makes you so jealous and that you want to kill your own brother. And it's that onus that's put on us to actually say, I don't have to do this, but I have to acknowledge that it's here.
Yeah. And that's so important because with the flesh, it's lost its power. Like once you've put your faith in Jesus, it no longer has power over you. So in the moments where I'm choosing my flesh, when I'm choosing, you know, to seek revenge because it makes me feel better, or when I'm seeking to do something at the expense of ourselves, but it's going to make me feel better, I'm going to get mine, I'm going to gain this, whatever. That flesh, it no longer has power over me.
Right.
I'm choosing to let it have power. Like I'm choosing in that moment. And so one of the cool things about the Spirit is you've been given a brand new capacity to say no to the flesh. It's hard, but you've been given a brand new capacity to say no to the flesh and ultimately to say yes to the Spirit, which at the end of the day is the way of life. Like the flesh, it looks so good, but at the end of the day, it's going to overpromise and underdeliver. Like it's not what we are actually after in life. That's where relationships thrive. That's where intimacy thrives. That's where our faith thrives. That's where our influence thrives. And it's why so often when we let the flesh lead the way rather than the Spirit, we end up regretting, we end up hurting, we end up, you know, this, that, and the other. And so the war, honestly, and I'm going to go on to this last question here and we'll kick it to Jake. The war is a good thing. Like if you're feeling like why did the flesh go, the flesh would be gone. Like basically a war between what you want to do and what you feel like God is telling you to do or calling or leading you to do. It means like something is alive in you.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Like that's okay. The struggle's okay. Mm-hmm. You know? And so like continue to practice the discipline of saying yes to the Spirit and no to the flesh. So, okay. Let's jump in. This is kind of a two-part question, but we'll kind of close with this. There's so much more here that we could dive into, but Jake, I want to come to you. What would you say? I want to talk to the person that's discouraged.
Yeah.
And then I want to talk to the person that maybe isn't a person of faith that's watching. Mm-hmm. And if you've made it this far, congratulations. Okay. So let's just talk to those two groups of people here as we kind of wind our time down. Jake, what would you say to the adult or the student that is just they're discouraged. They feel like they keep missing it, or, you know, like maybe a high school student or a college student. And it's like, man, I'm trying to follow Jesus and I keep messing it up, or God might be done with me, or the adult that's like, I should be further along than where I am. Or they're looking to their left and their right thinking, man, everyone in my small group, they've, you know, what would you say? And you guys can jump in after Jake, but what would you say to the person that feels a little discouraged?
Yeah. I mean, I think the first thing is just knowing that, like, you're not alone. You know, like, I think sometimes it's easy to get in this headspace of, I'm the only one struggling with this, or I'm the only one that's in this fight, this battle, like you're talking about. And I think the faster you can find other people to bring into it with you, not people who are like, necessarily, we're all struggling with the same thing, because I don't know if that's always the healthiest thing, but to have people who are like willing to call you out and lovingly call you out, people that you trust to bring into your life to say, hey, I know we're going to all work on this thing together. Because I think it can be daunting to look at a list, you know, there's 9 fruit of the spirit, to look at a list of 9 things and be like, man, I'm so bad at these 9 things. Like, that's horrible. But then to say, hey, let's work on patience, you know, this month. Or let's work on, and to kind of like, you know, bite off a little bit more that you can chew. And the second thing I would say is, and I've struggled with the word walk, because I think there is this, I want it now. Like, to your point of like this, we want it now. And I want more patience now. I want more self-control now. I want more peace now. And so it almost feels like, because I follow Jesus, because I've been asking him for these things, because I've been walking with the Holy Spirit, why don't I have all of it now? And I think you can look up sometimes and see people running past you if you kind of imagine yourself like walking, and there are people walking past you, and man, I should be further along than where I'm at right now. And I think that can be a really easy mindset to buy into is, and what are people going to think about me? Or I've said that I was a Christian for years, and I should be further along than where I am right now. But I think we have to stop comparing ourselves and maybe look back and say, but I'm so much further than where I used to be.
Yeah.
You know, like if I'm walking, it might not feel like a sprint. It might feel like everyone around me sprinting past me. But my goal is progress. Mm-hmm. You know, my goal is not to be perfection. God knows that we're not perfect. That's why he sent Jesus, because he knew that we could never earn all of this. And so he just wants us to take another step, you know, and Emily Freeman, who's a author and a writer, she says, just do the next right thing. I think that's what I would say to someone who's discouraged.
That's
like,
really good.
Hey, where you're at right now, just do the next right thing. That's, you know, really like good. There's grace for your past and there is freedom for the future. So just do the next right thing.
That's good. I love that walk. Good. You can't expedite maturity. You can't. Mm. You know, Elaine, you said you can't microwave it. You've got to crock pot it.
It's a crock pot.
And so it is a every day. I love that. I'm going to wake up and I'm going to, how can I be faithful today? How can, what's the next right thing today? Yeah. And that's, I love that. That's a really great perspective. Mm-hmm. That's really good. Anything you guys would add to that, to the discouraged person?
I think you had mentioned training. I think the training aspect is important, that nobody gets to start off, you know, you're training for a half. You didn't expect,
you
honestly, to put on your shoes.
Now it's accountability.
I'm so sorry, but not really, because you're right. Accountability. But you did not rationally expect to put on your shoes and then go out and run a half marathon.
Right.
You are in the process of training for a half marathon. Mm-hmm. Yep. I think that's a great way to talk about approaching our spiritual life is, you know, that's the reason athletes practice. Mm-hmm. I played piano. You know what? No matter how far and proficient I got at it, one thing I had to do every single day was practice my scales up and down the piano keys. Not because I couldn't play well, but because it is just those basic things that you have to keep going back to every single day, because you're working on mastering something. You're working on getting to a certain level. And so I think athletes practice so that when the time comes on the field, they're ready for the actual game. We train and practice so that we are more ready for whatever life's going to throw our way, knowing that Jesus already told us in this world you're going to have trouble.
Yeah.
So if I want to train well, then I've got to do those spiritual habits and things like that. So if you're discouraged, just remember, you're not there yet. Yeah. You're on your way.
Yeah.
And but we're going to train along the way. And you're not expected to do it perfect.
Yeah. And no one's there yet. So the training. Yeah, that's good. Yeah. And we're all still in training.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Every day. Right.
And so forever. Forever. If Jesus is the teacher and the model and the one we're following, then we never surpass the master. We just keep trying to inch closer.
Yes.
Okay, so April, then we'll wind our time down here. What would you say to the person that maybe is exploring faith, curious about faith, maybe not sure, they, you know, haven't put their faith in Jesus yet, but they're you know, trying to figure this part out. Like, mm-hmm. what do you say to them?
Well, the first thing I think I would say, I'm so glad you're curious.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And the mere fact that you are curious and that you are exploring is great evidence that the Holy Spirit is working.
That's good.
He's real. Mm. And the fact that you have the question, because if he wasn't and you were left with, you know, I'm just gone, then you might have evidence to say that there is no Holy Spirit. But the fact that you're asking the questions is so pivotal. So keep asking the questions. And hey, what if what he says is true?
Yeah.
What if there is a life that you can live and say you believe, like, well, you know, I'm good at loving people. I'm kind. I'm patient. I'm good. But what if there's a standard of what if there's a quality that's even better? Mm. And what if Jesus is the link to that life?
It's good.
Stay curious, pursue that, and give him a shot.
Love that. Stay curious. You know, yeah, that's good.
You know, the Bible says, taste and see that the Lord is good. There's an invitation in that psalm that says to taste. Give it a try. Mm-hmm. One of the things I would always tell my kids, I was never one of those ones like, hey, baby, what do you want to eat for dinner tonight? That was not me. You just ate what I gave you. And they, you know, my niece was over one time. She was like, I don't like it. She just looked at it just based on what it looked like. It didn't make sense to her. Like, why is this green? Or why is that mushy? Or why does that have a lump? But I was like, you know what? Just try it and see. Yeah. It's one thing for you to say after you've tasted it that you don't like it.
Yeah.
But to disqualify it without trying it out.
Mm-hmm. I love that.
It has no value. You're just like your argument has no credence. So I would just say, taste him. Try
That's
him
good.
Out.
I
think you'll. I think you'll find he's really good.
I love that. Mm-hmm. Stay curious.
Yeah.
Try it. That's really good. Anything y'all would add to that?
No, I like that.
There's a book we talked about that might be worth picking up.
Oh yes,
up.
Yes.
Live Resources. No Lies by John Mark Comer really unpacks a lot of this stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So Live No Lies by John Mark Comer is an incredible book. If you're around Woodstock City and exploring faith, Starting Point is an incredible. Short-term group experience we have literally designed for people that are exploring faith and want a safe place to ask any question about faith. So Starting Point would be amazing. Elaine, you had mentioned this.
Oh, I would say, yeah. I was going to say maybe connecting to a person.
Yep.
If you God works through the context of relationships. So if there's a curious person, then my challenge to them would be, do you know another believer? Do you know a believer that you could talk to and ask more information about? How does that work in your life? How have you experienced the presence of the Holy Spirit or walking by the Spirit? Any of those things would work. But to connect them relationally to someone that is connected to Christ is a great strategy, I think.
I love that. That's awesome. Well, hey, that's all the time that we've got. Thanks so much for tuning in. Thank you guys for being here. Maybe people at home are clapping for you right now. I don't know. But really grateful for y'all. Thanks for being a part of this conversation. And thank you for tuning in. Hope you are enjoying your weekend. And wherever you are, stay safe. And we look forward to seeing you guys next Sunday, June 2nd, back here at Woodstock City. We love y'all. See you soon.